Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the Great Unraveling podcast with
myself. So we're doing it now.
That's just did it, yeah. How are you doing, Ben, as one of our listeners?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. You all right?
Yeah, all right, yeah. Good few weeks. It's been a while since we've actually recorded one now, isn't it?
What is this T-shirt?
What?
What's that T-shirt that you're wearing?
It's Loki. I mean, this is basically... I've got to admit, I'm basically wearing pyjamas.
It looks like pyjamas, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But it's like the... What is it? The comic version of Loki from the Marvel comics? Not Tom Hiddleston. And there's a tagline that says, "Chillin' like a villain."
Yeah.
And he's a bit more of like a muscular version. Oh wow. And the tartan pajama trousers. Good. Good.
Yeah, sorry. I had a bath. I had a nice little soak.
Nice.
Become a bath person because my shower's a bit shit. And, over the last year, I've never been a bath person, but over the last year, I should get baths. Relax myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do that now. I never did before for years and years and years.
I like a bath, yeah.
So that's why I'm in, like, comfies. I know we're doing a podcast, so I probably could have presented myself better, but I can't be bothered.
Doesn't matter, does it? You are. No one can see you.
Doesn't matter. No one can see me apart from you, and that's fine.
Mm, yeah. I'm a bath advocate too, just so you know. Yeah, yeah.
And what would you put in the bath?
My penis.
You put bubble bath there.
Oh,
How girly is your bath?
Let's not get onto that. That's too much there.
This is a podcast about baths.
way too many things to think about there.
Yeah, let's not go down that route. Okay, let's talk about something else.
It's the glitter. It's the, you know, I like the to glitter. Make myself, you know, myself shiny. In the bath.
Candles.
Yeah.
Meditation, music.
Oh yeah, all of that. Yeah. No, none of that. I'm just bullshitting. None of those things.
Right. Okay. Right.
What's happening in your life then? Over the last 2 days.
Well,
2 days. Let's give it a 2 day window.
The 2 day window is that so?
That's
okay. So
today that's just gone, and the day that's before that.
On Thursday night, I watched the film Dune. We watched that, and then that was in preparation to go see Dune Part 2. It was a Dune duo days. It was very enjoyable. So I saw the first one when it came out. A couple of years ago, and I the specifics of it faded a bit because I was pretty drunk when I watched the first one. Mm. And I remember it being an audiovisual experience, which was really like startling. But when I rewatched it, I thought the story is really good as well. It isn't just the sensory overload in a cinema. I really enjoyed the rewatch. So yes, and you. What have you been doing over the last 2 days, Matt?
The last 2 days? Well, I was working yesterday.
Interesting.
I've been inspecting my pond. So long time... Well, not that long time. Last year, I dug a pond in my garden. And, you know, it was the hopes of, like... Gardening pod. And it was the hopes of, like, adding to the... I don't know what you call it. It's like the kind of
biodiversity.
Yeah, the biodiversity of my habitat. I've listened to a podcast and they said it's the best thing you can do is implement or introduce a patch of water into your garden, mm-hmm. and that's the best thing you can do for your local habitat. So I dug a medium sized pond.
And that's pretty good for your own well-being, because you did some, you dug a hole.
Yep, it was. I enjoyed it, and dug it, all that crap. The other day, I found two newts, actual newts in the pond. Newts, mm-hmm. They're like leopard-skinned newts.
Did you pick the newts up and say, "Life found a way"?
Yeah,
like Grant or Malcolm in Jurassic Park.
They won't let you touch them. They're very kind of skittish.
Yeah.
And I'm like this massive, like, what the fuck is that? kind of thing. They see me and they're like, they looked at me, upon me with awe, I think. But now they're a bit nervous around me.
So now you get, have you got any more wildlife in it? I mean, do you get a fox around as well? You've got all sorts going on.
Foxes don't live in ponds, though. But there's some, like, pond snails in there, I've noticed. Some tiny, tiny baby ones.
Yeah, and you like to just go out there and watch it all?
I like to squat by the pond and survey it for various points throughout the day, actually, yeah.
Throughout the day?
Throughout the day, yeah, because it's on my way from my office, which is the end of my garden, to my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it sound like it's quite a lengthy period, but it's not.
Commute.
It's my commute. I get to survey my patch of water on the way.
Yeah, you're working from a shed, looking. You
but seriously, I gave it life, and life there has become.
Very poetic. Let there be life.
Yeah. Let there be newt. Newts are there.
You're the king of all your land.
I foresee. Yeah, I'm like an emperor of my garden, aren't I?
A god.
A god, you might say.
Mm.
Yeah. Or like an emperor just like above it. I'm trying to do a transition here, segue into what we might be talking about.
Oh, I see. Right. Well, I didn't need to do the segue because I'd already mentioned that I went to sleep. Then I went to see Dune. So what did you do after?
Oh, well, today I went to see Dune Part 2 at the cinema.
We've both been seeing it. So we're going to talk about that. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to review the movie, aren't we? But
yeah.
Film. Do you want to say movie or film? We should get that.
I like film.
I like film too. I feel American if I say movie.
Yeah. So we're going to go in with film. Yeah.
Film. We both went to see the film Dune 2. And we're going to review it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about it a little bit. And then we'll move on to other shit. You know, basically same as ever.
Normal.
Boo, 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 boo.
Right, so Dune Part 2, how are we going to do this? Are you going to, you're going to give us some kind of introduction, are you? That's your job, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and we don't want to give spoilers away, but we've got to sort of assume most people would have seen the first one if they've seen it or they're intending to see it.
Can you give us, like, the brief plot points, like, some main protagonists, like, I don't know. I assume people know it's like a fairly famous science fiction novel, series of novels.
Yeah. And yeah, but you can watch the first one on Netflix, I'd recommend, before you go see it again. But yeah, it's a pretty, I think it's like it's like Star Wars for grown-ups. I don't know if it's Star Wars, because that's fine. I like stuff like that too, just not Star Wars.
I was talking to somebody the other day and they asked me about Dune and I was like, but I'd only seen the first one at that point. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, the first one's good, but you do have to like science fiction to like the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I like science fiction. I like Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought to myself, no, that's not right, is it?
Yeah, yeah. No, and again, I'm not even distant Star Wars fans, but yeah, that he's not good. Just because you like Star Wars doesn't mean you're going to like this. That's certainly not what I'm saying. No, because this is, it's like the first one, it's a sort of slow paced sensory overload, you know, tension builds up. The sound never stops, does it? Even through the dialogue. It's like, it's a spectacle. It's this audiovisual experience. Absolutely beautiful to look at. I mean, I absolutely loved it. So let's set that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Loved every minute of that. I loved the first one. The second one is a little bit different because it's kind of more fast-paced, a lot more going on, and it's kind of darker as well, isn't it? Because the story starts getting a bit dark as we go to the first one. We're on the planet Arrakis, which has the valuable resource spice, and that's the center of the conflict. Do we assume people know the plot from the first one? Do we have to do a recap there?
Well, can we quickly do it? I mean, very, very briefly, can you do that? I mean, it's the... So, oh, no, let's not bother, actually. It's quite complicated. I think that's the thing with it.
It is, exactly, isn't it?
The whole setup, and it's, I think that's why they needed a full film to begin with, of, like, not... I know, there isn't really a huge amount happens in that first one. There is just quite a lot just to, like, establish... And it's just a bit complicated, and it's, this is what I mean by the difference between science fiction and Star Wars. It's like it's just very serious and complicated and slow, and there aren't any jokes, it's all like, it's all taking itself very, very seriously. And if you don't like that, it's not for you, is it? But it's not going to try and, like, get you on board with that. It's like, no, this is serious science fiction. We've got, like, all of these, like, rival factions and emperors.
It's
and
very philosophical about...
Strange, like, yeah, setups and, yeah.
Very philosophical about time and the idea of prophecy and religion.
Capitalism.
Yeah, capitalism. Yeah. And so... Yeah, back on the planet Arrakis, that is now under the rule of the Harkonnens, who are pretty...
Yep, who made a move in the first film, yep.
So there they are now in, like, this brutal empire, so it's like this huge imperial spectacle when we're seeing their planet. There's some great parts on the planet, and now that they rule over this
Arrakis. Yeah, and these are like bad guy, like Nazi type... faction, yeah, they're like all
badass,
literally black and white, and yeah.
We have the return of the Baron, absolutely great character, played by
Stellan Skarsgård. I was worried in the first one because it looked like he was dead, but it turns out he's not dead, and there's quite a lot of him.
Jabba the Hutt mixed with Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now.
Yes, that's a good way of describing him. Like, covered in... Well, yeah, in Apocalypse Now, yeah, covered in... It's the bit, isn't it, where he submerges in the water and, yeah.
Yes, in the first one, it's a very particular Apocalypse Now type.
I love the way they have him, like, kind of floating. He, like, floats, doesn't he? He kind of floats, and then he's got those two, like, orbs that seem to be keeping him afloat in some mad way.
So let's just... calm down and rewind a little bit. So it actually starts, we meet the Emperor. We're in the first one, there's a lot of talk of the Emperor, and we actually see him here, and this is where Florence Pugh is introduced as the princess.
Yep.
So that's all going in the background, so we see, like, the highest sort of table of this huge intergalactic empire.
A lovely garden on some planet far away or wherever.
She's recording a journal. And in general, she's talking about how she thinks that Paul Atreides, who plays by Timothy Chalamet, is Space Jesus.
Yeah.
He's on the planet Arrakis. He's seen as kind of the chosen one by the natives there. The Fremen. Fremen? Yeah.
Fremen.
What are they called? Fremen, that's it. Sorry. There you go. I told you I'd get a pronounce, start changing their pronunciation. There's a lot of names in here that I'm definitely going to pronounce wrong. So this is the start. This is kind of a climax, isn't it? Because then this is the build-up where Timothy Chalamet is starting to grow into a leader.
Yeah.
And is starting to build up an insurgency, the natives there. And there's a dodgy, like, military leadership from all the... what do you call him? The guy from... The guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. Ah, god damn it.
What guy?
Dave Bautista.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of meant to be running the place. Oh, it's terrible. It's not a good plot recap.
It's a complicated film. That's what I mean.
Yeah, so
the whole setup is complicated.
Yeah, but there's a faltering military leadership of the planet Arrakis. And there's an insurgency that's led by Space Jesus, Timothy Chalamet.
Space Jesus, and he's like knocking about with all of the, like, what they call them, the rats. They're like the people, the kind of people who've learned to be at one with the desert, and they've learned and be at one with the space worms, the massive space worms, and to the point where, like, these like mad black and white bastards that David Bautista works for, like, they just don't believe that it's inhabitable. Like, a huge part of the world the planet. They're like, no, no, that's not inhabitable. But of course, Space Jesus and the rat people are they live there, of course. They habit it, and they build an army, don't they, throughout the film? Let's not give the end away.
And if Fremen start to trust
the Fremen, that's what the rat.
Fremen. Yeah. Some of them don't trust Space Jesus, you know, yeah. The poor Atreides, and there's a prophecy. This is the interesting part: is he's having, when he's been on the resources spice, and it's sort of a hallucinogen, isn't it? And more and more he gets exposed of it, he keeps having visions of the future, and it's you see the prophecy comes true. So it's a great sort of narrative on religion on the planet as well.
Lots of layers in it, isn't it, Ben? Lots of layers in it. That's what I liked about it. And this is what great sci-fi is, isn't it? It's like an allegory for many things, but also like multi-layered. It's like a sandbox, isn't it? So I listened to an interview with Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
I think I said that. Did I say that right?
Yeah, his name. That's right.
The director of the film, Denis Villeneuve, to say it in the English way. And he was saying that basically he saw the first film as a sandbox. I don't think he was trying to be punny about that. He just said he saw it as a sandbox, kind of setting everything up. And then the second film, it's like, what can I do with that? It's like you can play with the aspects of it. So they start to like use the things in it like weapons. So they use the sandstorms as weapons, for example. You know, they work with the worms. They use the worms as weapons and shit like that. But there's just like a lot of layers. So that thing you're saying there about the kind of, they think he's the Messiah, and what it kind of starts to play with is this idea of like religion, weaponizing religion. And
yeah, using the prophecy and the Messiah as a means of controlling the population.
Yeah, that, so he's using the spice drug, and it's like he actually starts to display, you know, symptoms of or like the things that line up with him being a Messiah. But really, it's that kind of blurring of the line, and he's like he sees it actually in as it goes on, it'd be useful to be viewed as a Messiah.
And Rebecca Ferguson back again playing his mother, and playing as it's in a sort of even more dark performance. I think she's brilliant in this, and because she comes from sort of a sect of witches, doesn't she? They can like conceive, or they have the prophecy of a Messiah, and they've implanted it on into the heads, the minds of people on this planet. When she really believes, you know, her son is this destined to.
But you get the sense to
begin with, pushing him more and more into it.
She doesn't really to begin with, but she does. She pushes more and more, and so I think that's the thing. It's like the weaponization of his status, and yeah.
And you have some of the younger inhabitants like Zendaya, who plays Chani, who's his, like the woman he meets, the first one, who he has visions of, and they fall in love. But they all think that you know the prophecies are a load of rubbish. There's some really interesting dynamic there with Stilgar, played by Javier Bardem, who's the leader at the time, but he's also like devoted to this religion and belief in the prophecy, and starts to believe that Timothy Chalamet, Paul Atreides, is the Messiah. There's some got really good elements in there.
Ben, sorry, just calm me down a bit there. Can we like lay down some judgment on some of the performances, right? Just while we're here.
So, well, the cast Javier
Bardem.
Fantastic.
Let's start with Javier Bardem, because I very much enjoyed Javier Bardem in this film.
Excellent. In the first one, he's got this real stern, authoritative. Presence when he meets the religious leader of the traders' house, and this one, it's still got that, but it brings a bit of comic relief in it, doesn't it? Some of the dynamics sometimes is a little bit Life of Brian, and he plays it out really well.
I felt like there were references to Life of Brian.
Yeah.
I seriously felt like there was this whole thing of like, oh, he's, you know, it's in Life of Brian where you know, he's denying that he's the Messiah.
Yeah, because I'm not the Messiah, and he's
like... Yeah, and they're like, well, the fact that he's denying that he's the Messiah, that must mean he is the Messiah. He's so humble. And like, and, he drops his shit. Yeah. But that's, they literally do that in this. And I feel like it's referenced. But I thought he really, like, big parts of the film thought he carried it, actually. Like, kept like the rhythm going, and
he's brilliant.
Fully bought into like what it was. Like he's like, he's a fanatic, you know, but he's like he's passionate, and you can see like he's again, it's that kind of weaponization of religion thing. It's like how powerful like faith can be. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yep.
He's like he's such a good leader of his tribe, and you know how like fanatical he becomes about Timothy Chalamet's character, that make you know the way he responds to it, you can see how he's like a person who people would follow into battle and things like that.
Yes, which okay, so that naturally goes into the central figure, Timothy Chalamet, who was
I'm not a big Timothy Chalamet fan.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not particularly, but he is absolutely brilliant. He's exceptional. And he has a, because he's a, he's not like a huge like guy. He's not like a, you know, muscle bound,
he's a tiny man,
that sort of leader type. But there's like intensity about him, and as you know, there's no spoilers. But there's a climactic scene in it where he's absolutely show stopping performance.
I don't think it's a spoiler to say he has to make quite a big transition, and like it's pretty obvious that he's going to be a leader at some point, and he's got to make that convincing for you as a viewer.
And he's fighting
because he starts
back
off
against
in the first film, he's a fairly like, he's very slight and he's quite young, and then he's you know, he's pampered, isn't he? And he's quite naive.
It grows in intensity throughout.
Yeah.
So.
He's pretty convincing. But, I think he does that pretty well. Yeah.
I love every scene that Stellan Skarsgård is in as the Baron. So they're just brilliant. Gross. Like we've already said, Jabba the Hutt, Marlon Brando. Very much enjoy that. And then introduce Austin Butler, who comes in as a younger nephew, the brother of Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
To be given control of the planet, and he's plays a psychotic, very odd looking, because they're bald and there's no hair on with their caps on. He's enjoyed his performance as well.
Oh yeah, he's good. Yeah, I mean, he reminds me a bit of it's Joaquin Phoenix and Gladiator. They're kind of that kind of young. I mean, obviously because the strong parallels, because he gets introduced literally in like a gladiatorial setting, doesn't he?
That's that whole part on the actual planet, the Harkonnen's actual planet, because it's all black and white.
Yeah, it's like the colour's literally been sucked out of it.
So it's really startling to watch on a big screen. I'd recommend. It's a great film to watch whenever. So, you know, if you're going to end up watching it on TV, fine. But it's great to watch at the cinema, obviously. The sound is so intense. Sound, and it's just overwhelming at times. So Austin Butler,
I've got a, like, in terms of that, like whether you should see it at the cinema, that is a film that is made to watch at the cinema.
Oh, absolutely.
And we don't get those much anymore. He's good at them, Denis Villeneuve.
That's what it is as well.
And,
it's a proper good old fashioned.
You know, like Oppenheimer's are like a big, like they're meant to be big Christopher Nolan films. They're made for the cinema. They're big. You have to go and see them in the cinema. Like this is a film you have to see at the cinema, really. And I was amazed that when you saw it, the sound just felt like it was breaking the speakers. It was breaking the speakers, and it was probably going to break the chairs. Because the chairs were just ended up just like vibrating.
Yeah, so
but like
intense.
You know, it got to that volume where it's like the kind of feedback and the, you know, the noise coming out of the speakers just sounded,
and it never
like
stops,
it
does it?
Yeah.
And it also, there's no while there's dialogue, the sound, there's always some sound setting this mood. And the interesting thing about it, actually, it's brilliant soundtrack from Hans Zimmer, but it's not the kind of soundtrack what you're going to remember in the start. You know, you're not going to be humming it, but it is just like just. Instill this intensity in it throughout.
I think I can hum it.
Yeah, it's just... It's,
that's basically what it's
like. I just enjoy every minute. I mean, it's like, again, audio-visual overload, but the story is great as well. So it's the whole sort of sensory tack of it. It doesn't take away from the great characters and stories. No. Great, there's some great performances in it.
There's a few things. I mean, I suppose the older Dune, the David Lynch Dune, is a bit like this, but it's like the story is so wacky, and the characters and the you know are so.
Oh, it's a weird film. It's a weird film.
That it's so easy for it to tip into just being ridiculous and being silly and just funny, and unintentionally so, and the fact that it just manages to just not do that all the way through.
Yeah, it doesn't do that, even though it's really weird. It's amazing. Really, yeah. Really weird.
And then constantly just like, you've got these images in front of you which are just so bizarre and strange, but kind of believable and practical.
Yeah, it's like you said, the great bit that when, you know, when the Baron like rises, like starts levitating in the air, and
just makes no sense. This is just a stupid thing to see, but it's so, you're like, whoa, that's awesome.
And that, and the space worms. I mean, the film looks fantastic, doesn't it? It's shot so beautifully.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the CGI and everything looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's really like on a grand scale now, with the, especially with the seeing the Harkonnens. Like military might, this horrible imperial fascist style, really. But and then we get the introduction of Florence Pugh, who gives a good performance, and whoever dresses her in this film with all those headdresses is knows what they're doing. Don't see like a lot of her, but she starts. It starts of a transition of the story.
She's an important character, isn't she? So I mean, less so the princess. For like. What she is doing, and like actually, it's more like the position she's in, isn't it? Because she kind of comes into interaction with characters around them, who
there's
are
all kind of politics
pivotal.
Going on. That's another layer of it. I would say that so we get Christopher Walken as the Emperor, and I think when you compare it, like the presence of the Baron character, it's kind of like that's Christopher Walken.
Yeah, that's just Christopher Walken. I mean, Christopher Walken is just always Christopher Walken.
Yeah, but sometimes, I guess this is the only time I remember thinking, I'm not sure that works brilliantly.
No, I get
think
what you mean.
I would have seen an emperor. I guess, I don't feel like he has a quiet presence, or like, you know, he could have, I'm not saying you needed to go even bigger than the Baron, and here's an even bigger guy who's even weirder, but I don't think he quite has the presence, but it doesn't ruin anything or anything like that, but it's
He didn't have many lines, did he? He didn't have many lines, and I feel like it was like, if it was anyone else, you'd probably think, it's not really convincing. But at least with Christopher Walken, he's got the Christopher Walken gravitas. It's like,
yep, it's definitely gravitas.
He's like
there.
A kind of faded emperor, isn't he, a bit? And it's...
Yeah, I guess he does that bit, but
yeah. But I know what you mean.
It's a minor quibble.
Yeah, yeah.
Rebecca Ferguson is great in it. I think that's just the cast is, there's so many good people in it, so the performance is marvellous, and it's a long film, 2 hours 50 minutes.
Can we score? So this is a film Ben, with a large cast, a large starry cast, I would say.
Yeah.
Compared to like a normal film, it's got lots of famous people in it. Some people not in it very much. Can we try and we've got like 40 seconds. Can we try and rate in order? Who's the best one? Who is the best performance out of those?
And then Josh Brolin's in it. Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Yeah. For me, I think the best person in it is Javier Bardem. I think he is the best person in it.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I have that as number one? Number one, I'm writing this down. JB. Number two, who comes second? Who's the second best person in it?
I think it's Chalamet. Come on, he's central. He's
TC?
Very good.
Okay.
Intense.
I agree with you
TC.
There. Who's third? Who's coming in at third? I think it's got, well...
Skarsgård.
Skarsgård or Ferguson, isn't it? Or Butler.
Butler does a lot of heavy lifting
in this film.
He's very good. I definitely, for me, coming behind one of these, because Rebecca Ferguson is really carrying a lot of the narrative as well.
She does.
And it's a real darkness.
Very convincing.
To her.
Yeah, and she does a big transition in it as well.
Yeah, so, I think that.
We're going Rebecca Ferguson. We're going RF. Four.
But then Stellan Skarsgård.
Okay, so we're going Stellan Skarsgård or Austin Butler. Which one would you like?
Well, I think Skarsgård. But I don't want to take it away from that. But Austin Butler is very good and does.
I think Austin Butler has more to do. He has more to do, I think. Stellan Skarsgård sitting around going, I'm fat. Like, and yeah, I think he had more to do in the first one.
I'll give you it then. You convinced me. Go on then.
I'm going AB.
And I'll say, you know, oh, he does have more to do. The gladiatorial battles and the arenas and stuff, it's just.
Yeah, that is brilliant. Pretty.
Oh, cool. I mean, we should say that because that's the thing, what you have said as well about the change. There is a change of pace. Sorry, so just briefly interrupt this one.
Yeah, it is.
There is a real change of pace. It all happens very quickly. The timeline's actually surprisingly condensed. There's a lot of great fighting in it. There's great fighting scenes, and not just the gladiator bits, but when they're fighting in the sand, and then the whole massive insurgency sort of guerrilla warfare. It's some great action in it. It looks brilliant. So anyway, yeah. So
okay, so top at the top we've got JB and Javier Bardem, and we've got Timothy Chalamet in second, Rebecca Ferguson in third, Austin Butler in fourth, and Stellan Skarsgård in fifth. Who would you like in sixth? Now, well, who's in there? We've got Florence Pugh. She's good in it. She's convincing. We've got Zendaya. She does a lot in this film. She's in it a lot.
She does. She really does. Yes.
She is very good. I would say she is very good in it.
Let's put her in. Yeah, she's great in this sense. She's very
saying that in a weird way. Like, no, she is good. Like it's because she's all over my fucking Instagram, and I don't want to on my Instagram. That's why it's like the children like her. That's what annoys me. It's like I don't want to say she's good, but she is quite good.
Let's not take things for granted. Yeah, and she, she's does do a lot in this film.
She does.
And she's fighting that out with.
Batista basically does more of what he did in the first film.
Yep. Which is very good. Yeah, he does what he's asked for. Josh Brolin.
I think Josh Brolin was just Josh Brolin. I enjoyed him. He was good. He brought a really good angle into it when he's introduced it. It really made it helped the plot when he came in. But I think it was just Josh Brolin being Josh Brolin.
Right, well, I've got no problem with that, so put him down.
JB after Stellan, or are we going Zendaya? We're going to go Zendaya and then Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Skarsgård, then Zendaya, and then, yeah, just put Zendaya in. You know, let's be real. You know? And she's just one of the, and there's a lot of striking-looking people in this film, isn't there? Not just necessarily the way they're made up or whatever, but, you know, all done striking looking people, you know. Austin Butler, obviously, like, a very handsome man. He's got a very
sexy bitch, yeah.
With his, like, all these bloody cheekbones and everything. But then the way you make him look in this, very odd looking. Bardem is as well. Yeah. Chalamet. And all the way they're made up and stuff, and their costumes are so. So.
You'd fuck him.
And then with the, like, frosty blue eyes. And the way they're shot.
Yeah.
Zendaya looks very striking in it. And she did a good performance.
Good. Okay, so out of five, what are you giving? No, out of seven, what are you giving this film? What, Ben, the first movie review score, what are you going to give it?
Why? I can't. Do we have to give ratings?
No, you don't have to. No, we don't have to. Let's not. No, no, we're above that, aren't we? We're above that.
Yeah, they don't have to give ratings.
We're above that. No, I think. You're right that we should not rate the films. We should just talk about the films, and that's it. We don't have to like score it, do we? We don't.
I'll be giving a film that's like a seriously, you know, good film, same rating as something I just enjoyed because I know some daft thing or some, you know, action nonsense.
But people can tell by this conversation that we enjoyed it, and they should go and see it, and they should go and see it at the cinema. They should go and support your local cinema. Yeah.
Support your local cinema. That's what it's all about. Because they go often, and you know, it's a great thing to do, and best way to watch films. So we're a bit all over the place there because there's a lot to it and we enjoyed it and there's lots we want to say.
Yeah.
But basically it's a sci-fi spectacular epic with this rich universe. It's about a giant empire that's heading into conflict.
Don't get into describing the film again. What are you doing? Why are you describing the film again? We just spent half an hour talking about the fucking film and now you're trying to describe it again and snap you away. You meant to do that at the start. You should have done better at the beginning. All the shit. So, other shit?
Moving on. Other shit, yes. I do have something, actually. And it's a little tale of war parable.
Oh, here we go.
A lesson learned.
Good.
Yeah.
Am I comfortable? I feel like I'm asking the listeners, are you comfortable?
I'm comfortable.
But I'm just going to ask myself, am I comfortable? I'm comfortable. Yeah, I'm comfortable.
I took my son, Charlie, 6 years old, swimming. Just me and him took him swimming. And it was a short session in the afternoon at my local baths. And this has got like a small kids' pool and a big Olympic sized pool, and that day it had floats and it had this giant inflatable. It's like a two-side dual assault course that you can run across. It goes right
nice.
To the length of most of the pool. Yeah, great for being before. Took him on. I go like down the side with it because you know it gets deep, too deep for him. So I go down the side, and if you know he jumps off onto me, or if he falls, I catch him. All good, wearing his goggles and everything. So that's fun. And then you got the kids going on. It's great. It's good fun. He has to jump off just before the end bit. The last bit is some stairs and then a slide. And he has to jump off before the slide, which is, you know, it annoys him, but because that's just a rule. And they mentioned that to me last time. So this time I'm going along and he's like, oh, can I go on the slide? I was like, yeah. No one said, oh, let's just go on the slide, right? Do the slide. No problem. So I go around and I'm like, right, I'm going to just go around, you know, I'll do what I do and I'll catch him coming off the slide. Then I realised the problem was, as I got round to the slide, and in that moment, he's about to come down, literally, no time to stop that either. It's too deep for me. My feet are not on the floor. So I have to catch him while, you know, also flapping. Put my feet on the floor. And his head hurtles towards me, and I'm just catching like that. I'm like, well, okay. And then I'm like, you know, I'm basically thinking, right, now simply swim back to where my toes can go. And I'm like, I swim back. And then I'm like, this is more drowning than swimming. I just start water going around. Because he's like above, and I'm like raised above me. So I decided to do a backstroke. And I ain't even done a backstroke, solo backstroke, probably in 10 years or more. I don't really swim that much. When I go swimming, it's just like sitting around or sometimes throwing the kids about who I never actually swim ever. Even though I think it's, you know, such the best exercise, I had, you know, I used to have asthma when I was a kid, and I just by doing loads and loads of swimming,
asthma.
I said, oh, yeah, I ain't got that anymore.
You've got asthma now. On your face.
Anyway, so I'm back to the backstroke. But I'm just sinking, actually, and just water went into my lungs. That's what, I was drowning, basically, I was drowning. And to the point that it was noticeable, and there was a lifeguard on the side. I'm like, are you all right, mate? I'm like, wah, wah, wah. Right? But what I learned in that experience, when I was like, you know, because if I kind of feel, it's like being, you know, if I feel like you're, I mean, I'm not that far to be able to get back, I knew I wasn't going to drown, but also in the process of getting out of the drowning, I was drowning. In the act of drowning, water going into my, like into a chest, drowning. But I was like, but despite that, I was too proud to accept any help. I was just like, no, Alfred, yep, I'm fine. And then, you know, I eventually got back to, again, all the time, Charlie didn't notice a thing because I'm just like, he's above water and I'm occasionally above water while swimming, sort of. And the lifeguards, but all ready to send a float. I know if they'd thrown it, I could have grabbed onto it and then I'd have been absolutely comfortable. Instead, I'm just like, no, I'm fine. You don't know what's going on. I'm absolutely fine. This is, I do it all the time. Then I've got back in and then Charlie's going off and then one of the other dads is like, what happened there? I'm like, nothing. What the fuck am I? What? I don't know. What? No idea. So yeah, nothing. Basically nearly drowned. And I was too proud to accept help and rather drown and die than look and admit embarrassment.
Oh, I mean, it's got to have looked bad if he's like, what's happened there?
Because I don't know what's. I didn't
realize. Sounds like a fairly simple maneuver that you should have been able to carry out.
I wasn't expecting. So easy for you to say, yeah.
I get you know, the not wanting to accept help from more, you know, the 13-year-old lifeguard. Or
yes, about 21 or something.
Yeah.
But I was just laughing at myself after that. It wasn't a simple maneuver, thank you very much. I can't swim while holding a big weight. Also, I was just like, gasping for breath as well. I don't know what I wasn't expecting. Anymore. I was like, oh shit, I've got to actually like swim properly now. It's like I'm having to save a drowning child, except I'm the one who's drowning. So I think that's why there's the rule. That's why he's meant to jump off. I was like, it's fine. What's the difference? Because I'll just catch him. Oh, it's too deep for me. Also, and that's even now I'm struggling.
I cannot swim.
I went up to lifeguards afterwards. I was like, oh, cheers for keeping an eye out there, because he's like, just next time let him jump off the alley. I'm not gonna be next time, mate. I don't know how I thought my swimming ability level was, but it isn't saving a child. So if he does fall into a river or anything, I'll just know that he's in trouble, or one of us is definitely drowning, probably me. I will be careful when the So that was embarrassing, but and it hurts getting water in your lungs. By the way, follow the rules at these local swim baths.
Oh, good.
There you go. That's my tale. Yeah, I made a right old twat of myself, and then got to the end of it. Up to the shallow end, and Charlie's like, go on again. I was like, wait a minute. I don't notice it, but I think, I mean, it all happened quite quickly. So it was like, I was fine, but it was, in the process of slightly drowning.
Oh dear.
Yeah, good
maybe,
darling.
Maybe you could benefit from some dedicated swimming lessons. Is that?
Yeah, well, some awesome swimming. I could just do some swimming.
Don't
like it. Go to swim lessons, and it's, in the lanes and stuff. People all doing that little paddle. And I'm in there just like, right, bam, shh.
You're too good for it.
I like swimming. It's hard work, swimming, isn't it?
Mm.
But I do need to do, one thing it did bring to me, I have not been doing a lot of cardiovascular exercise. Like last year, I did did that Total Warrior long run thing, and that was absolutely fine. Wouldn't be now. I haven't done enough of that.
Hey, weren't we going to do the walking up the hill thing? I thought we were going to do
we should.
Walking up the hill thing. No?
Yeah, it would be good.
What was that then? Three peaks, walking up three hills and down, I assume. Yeah.
I think we should give ourselves 2 or 3 months to...
We should do that, I'll be up for that, yeah.
June?
Hot. We should do
it in June.
June would be apt, wouldn't it?
To celebrate June. I think we should do that, by the way. I need something to aim for. Because, as soon as I caught Charlie and I couldn't breathe, I was thinking, you keep thinking about doing something about your lung capacity.
All right, let's do it. We're going to do it. And we should do it in June.
Give me something to train for. So,
do it in June, part two.
Yeah. So, anything else?
No. No. Say goodbye.
Say goodbye. So... go and enjoy June part two, and also follow the rules in your local swim baths. There are rules for a reason.
Yeah, this podcast's been a bit different, hasn't it, to the normal, hasn't it? I mean, we haven't talked about politics at all, have we?
No, well, we're just fancy talking about film that we've seen, and film-related things, and then just go on to other shit. Yeah, so it's kind of like the same thing, but while we talked about politics, we talked about films.
Yeah, are we just going to do that from now on?
What it is now. So just so you know, if that is something you enjoyed or might enjoy in the future, that's what we're doing now. So
the podcast is now a film podcast.
Yeah, basically. You know, I wrote about politics for a few years and I'll stop doing about it, and I know I don't want to talk about it either, because it's just a bummer, isn't it? So we're not gonna. Well, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. It makes me pissed off. I don't want to get pissed off anymore. Let's just have a bit of a laugh, a bit of a chill out, and talk about films and other shit. It's the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
Probably less depressing. So, yeah. There you go. So, yeah, that's it. Give us a bit of a chance to warm up. I will get better at the old film reviewing lark as well. That was a little bit, all you know, up and down here and there. Blah, 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 blah. I should have probably bulleted myself some notes. I overestimate our ability to sum up a epic film.
I think people got a sense of it. They got a sense of it, I think. You know, they really did.
Well, I'd be a bit more upbeat, I think. And, you know, yeah, let's talk about something, you know, entertainment. We'll do a film review. Do, you know, retrospective film reviews.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about other shit and our lives and blah, 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 blah. And that's the podcast now.
Yeah, there we go.
Thanks. Come along with us. That'd be great if you could.
Yeah, if they don't want to come along with us, I would like to say, go fuck yourselves. I'd say that.
I understand, you know, it's a different thing. But also, yeah you may as well just go walk out the door. Etc. So I'm off to Liverpool tomorrow for a stag do, so I'm going to get some sleep, mate. That's why I'm in my pyjamas.
Godspeed.
June part two.
There we are. No ratings, just a conversation about that film.
Yeah. That's what we'll do again in the next episode of another film.
Next time.
See you next time. There we go.
There we
done
go.
Now. It's changed. It's a film podcast now. We're film critics now.